You're listening to The Takeaway.
Our government.
Healthcare.
Your government.
The economy.
Bailout.
Global financial recession.
Transportation.
Agenda.
Agenda.
The work that needs to be done.
We've got the agenda because it's Monday and it's time for the agenda segment to look forward to what's going on in Washington. A lot on the agenda. Joining us now, the Marcuses, Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our partners, the New York Times, and the BBC's diplomatic correspondent, Jonathan Marcus, in London. Good morning to both of you.
Hi, good morning.
Let's begin with the story that was on the front page of your paper, Marcus Mabry, suggesting and possibly tempting Congress to reopen the matter of what executive under the George Bush administration permitted itself to do, and possibly sidestepping the Constitution on withholding from Congress a whole set of issues regarding the surveillance program.
Well, this was about a particular counterterrorism program that's still by the CIA, run by the CIA, that has still not been fully release in detail, so we don't really know what it was. That's been kept confidential. And what's most surprising about it so far, and some might say not so surprising, is that the Vice President, then Vice President Dick Cheney, had a direct role in keeping it secret from Congress for 8 years.
So for 8 years, according to Leon Panetta, who is apparently, according to sources, briefed Congress about this official withholding, that Dick Cheney was the source of the directive to not tell Congress about this. Dianne Feinstein in the Senate, her views are very clear on this subject.
The answer is yes, Congress should have been told. We should have been briefed before the commencement of this kind of sensitive program.
But the question is Congress going to touch this?
You know, it's interesting, John, because, of course, there have been calls from Democrats, both in Congress and Democratic supporters outside of Congress, for the administration to really take a very fulsome look at what was done in the name of the American people, in the name of protecting the American people in the last administration. There is not a lot of political upside to the Obama administration to go into this. What we can expect to see this week, however, is that there'll be probably more of those calls, both, again, Democrats within and with outside of Congress, saying once again that there is a need, clearly, to set the record straight, not to release things that are still classified and still, in some programs, obviously, are still operational. And this one supposedly was never fully operational.
Right. That's sort of that's the sort of legal loophole that possibly will justify either not looking into it or maybe allowing the Sotomayor nomination to take center stage in Congress. More about that in a moment. But Jonathan Marcus is looking increasingly after last week's casualties that offensive taking place in Afghanistan now is Barack Obama's war, and it's becoming more politically difficult for the British to stay the course here. How is that debate going and likely to proceed through this week in London?
I think it's hotting up significantly here. At the end of last week, British armed forces in Afghanistan had 8 deaths in 24 hours. A rather grim milestone was passed. More casualties, more deaths in Afghanistan for the British armed forces than in the Iraq war. So that was an important moment. A lot of media attention. And clearly today, the Defence Secretary is going to be answering questions in Parliament. Prime Minister Gordon Brown is giving a report on the G8 summit, and I'm sure Afghanistan is going to be very much on the mind of many MPs. It's interesting because there's been a public opinion survey that was taken just around the time of this upsurge in casualties, so I don't think it really reflects exactly the latest death toll, but it has very mixed messages for the government. I mean, opposition to the war at 47%, 7% for the war in Afghanistan, some 46%, which is significantly up on the last poll. But I think still, as I say, very mixed messages for the government and a very difficult issue for them to deal with in what is clearly going to be now an election year with perhaps a general election next May.
The big international story on the agenda. Jonathan Marcus, thanks so much for being with us for this segment. So, Marcus, maybe back here in Washington, D.C., the Sotomayor nomination, is it likely to be a healthy, vigorous discussion of ethnicity and the law or a political circus?
Well, John, how many healthy, vigorous discussions of the politics of ethnic identity and affirmative action have we had in our country? Unfortunately, not very many, and even after a historic election. So I think political circus is probably more likely. I think, unfortunately, what we're going to see here is going to be this kind of sense of that wise Latina comment coming back again in the sense of should there be white male outrage over this kind of presumption on the fact of this Latina nominee, and this is an anti-white male move by this administration. We have midterm elections next year. White men will be a very important swing demographic in many congressional districts.
Although the GOP needs Hispanics maybe more than the Democrats need white males at this point, and that may characterize the debate a little bit.
Maybe some Democratic congressional nominees will disagree with you.
Yes, indeed, indeed. All right, so earnings this week, bank earnings, including that bank called General Electric, may give us some indication of how the economy is doing.
Well, you know, this is going to be one of those weeks where, you know, there is a risk, again, of populist outrage. Goldman Sachs earnings come out tomorrow. We're still suffering through one of the worst financial crises ever. We are still suffering through the worst economic crisis in our country since the Great Depression. Millions more Americans are likely to lose their jobs by the end of this year. Goldman Sachs has made almost as much money as ever before. It's going to be an extraordinary quarter for them. The American people may not be thrilled about that after we gave them billions of dollars.
So bitterness, positive numbers producing political bitterness.
Not the first time.
Timothy Geithner is going to be in London this week, meeting with his counterparts in that country. Are the Europeans doing as much as the Americans? And do the Europeans have some things to say about the way the Obama administration is conducting, say, the stimulus package?
Well, the biggest surprise so far has been the fact that we have not seen, despite the upheaval we've seen in financial markets, a financial regulation, a new regime coming in that's going to improve the global kind of regulation of financial institutions and financial markets. It's been a little extraordinary. We've not seen that yet. We'll see if Geithner and his counterparts in Europe can make some greater progress toward it.
Is everything, though, going to be under the Sotomayor headline, do you think?
Oh, definitely.
These issues are important. But the Sotomayor hearing, even with the foregone conclusion, is going to dominate the headlines in Washington.
Absolutely. The things that may give it some run for its money may be the health care debate. We'll see if Democrats in the Senate will support Democrats in the House move to basically balance half of this $1 trillion health care reform on the backs of, you know, those who make $280,000 a year or more. We'll see if that the Democrats in the Senate are willing to go with it, along with it. They may not be willing to go along with it. And we'll see if the Republicans use this as something to beat over the Democrats' head this week.
All right, you got 2 seconds. Call it on the takeaway. Will the August deadline on health care be met, or will it pass without a health care bill, Marcus Mabry?
Right now, it looks like that deadline is going to be a really tough one to meet.
A real tough one to meet. He didn't even take a position. Marcus Mabry, the wussy international business editor for the New York Times, on the agenda here in the studio in New York. And Jonathan Marcus, BBC diplomatic correspondent in London. Thanks to both of you. That's your agenda.